Blog Talk Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Burke Allen Show, live from our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., on a sunny Friday as we head into the President's Day weekend. Our number to call, 718-506-1944, 718-506-1944. If you happen to be in the New York City metropolitan area, that's a free call. You can also instant messages as well in our Blog Talk Radio chat room. Our guest today is my old friend and author, Julia Klein. Her brand new book is The Entrepreneur's Guide to Sleaze Free Selling. She has something called the three-step sleaze-free sales formula, a blueprint to develop effective and heart-centered sales and marketing strategies. And this is great for small business owners. And if selling is part of what you do, and for most of us, realistically, selling is a part of what we do. Julia has some great information. And Julia, welcome to the program. The last thing I think of when I think of you is anything to do with sleaze.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. That's positive. That shows good branding, yeah.
Congratulations on the new book. And I have to tell you, in the interest of full disclosure, you have wonderful taste in writing because you included Allen Media Strategies in the book. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. Absolutely, yes. We have an entire chapter in the book devoted to ways of generating leads and certainly doing radio interviews and all the things that Allen Media does is a great way to generate leads. So, yes, we do have a section about getting in touch with you to find out how to generate leads.
Julia, I know from knowing you for a long time, you have an education background, and I wonder how much of your selling and doing it in an ethical way goes back to your work as an educator and really trying to sell concepts to young people.
You know, that's an interesting theory. I actually had never considered that myself. It might have something, I think maybe it's in the other way around. Part of who I am attracted me to being a school teacher, because I'll tell you the thing that happened that really, you know, cemented my sleaze-free approach was 10 years ago when my mom died. And what that did is it sparked a spiritual transformation. And so that spiritual transformation has caused me to open my own heart and to be able to recognize and feel the hearts of my customers. And as a part of that process, that's where it's like I've come to this understanding that, you know what, these are just real people with real problems. And not only is it a better approach to life to approach my salesmanship as a service to them, as a way of helping them live their lives better, but it also is actually financially more profitable because you get more referrals, you have more repeat business, you have an increased level of trust and credibility with your customers. It's just a win-win all the way around for everybody to be less sleazy.
Our guest, Julia Klein, has written a brand-new book. It's available at Amazon.com called The Entrepreneur's Guide to Sleaze-Free Selling. If you have a question for Julia, our number is 718-506-1944, or you're welcome to chime in on our flash chat today, and we'd love to hear from you. When you talk about selling, and when you sat down to write this book, did you think back to where sales and salespeople sort of got this black eye in society? I mean, why is it that in many cases we equate sales with sleaze to the point, Julia, that you had to write a book about sleaze-free selling? How did that happen?
Yeah, absolutely. As both an expert salesperson and then also a sales trainer for many years, I've absolutely examined this issue. And my feeling is that salespeople get this sleaziness simply as a reaction to the massive amount of rejection that most good salespeople deal with. Because if you're a good salesperson, not a great salesperson, but if you're a good salesperson, you're out there a lot, you're pounding the phone, you're throwing a lot of stuff against the wall, and you're getting met with rejection after rejection all day long. Whether that's just with phone calls not being answered, whether it's people saying, thank you for your time, but I'm going to think about it, all the way down to spending 3 months with a hot prospect at the very end, having them say, you know what, we decided to go with somebody else. And so that level of rejection, in order to keep going after it day after day after day, good salespeople build up sort of an immunity against that. They build up these big walls. And if those walls are exactly the opposite of what I was just saying a moment ago about this open-hearted approach to salesmanship and recognizing that, you know that your customer is a real person, you're a real person, we both have feelings, we both have needs that are in this situation, and when we approach each other from that perspective, it's more beneficial all around. But most good salespeople, as opposed to, you know, great salespeople recognize that along with me. Good salespeople, they don't recognize that, and they just pound after their leads all day long without really trying to address their customers. So they build up these walls, and that's what creates that sleazy feeling, because they're impenetrable. They're not human. They're sleazy.
Our guest is Julia Klein. She's a sales trainer and one of the best salespeople in the United States. Her three-step sleaze-free sales formula is a cornerstone for a new book, The Entrepreneur's Guide to Sleaze-Free Selling. And Julia, I've always said, coming from a broadcast background where our account executives in radio salespeople, they had to sell air. They had to sell an intangible. Yeah. I've always believed that everyone in your organization really is in sales, whether you're a solo entrepreneur, whether you're part of a huge company. Like when I work with CBS, everyone from the receptionist to the kid that drives the van to your top executives, everyone is in sales. What say you?
I say that, yes, in theory. And the vast majority of people reject that role. I was talking to somebody just the other day who works for, you know, a mid-sized market research company, and he's in client services. And so his role is to service the account after the sales guys have sold it. But it turns out that in his particular organization, the sales guy assigned to his team isn't that strong of a sales guy. And so his boss is continually pushing him, the client maintenance guy, to book additional sales calls and to upsell the client into more services. And this guy was saying to me, but I hate that. That's not my role. That's not the job that I took. I don't want to be a salesperson. So, yes, absolutely. Everybody in the organization ought to be a salesperson. And part of my philosophy and my, you know, I'll call it my purpose in life at this point, is to help not just salespeople, but everybody throughout organizations to have this mindset shift, which I put forth in the book, about how selling really is about solving problems. And when you really, really integrate that into your being, that you are solving a customer's problem, well, now there's almost nobody who has any resistance to that, right? We all, for the most part, are interested in helping our customers solve their problems. If you can really adopt that, now all of a sudden there's no problem with having everybody in your organization view themselves as a sales as part of the sales team.
You make a great point. Julia Klein is our guest. The book is The Entrepreneur's Guide to Sleaze-Free Selling, and Julia's sales training seminars are well attended and are a very important step to learning this whole methodology that you talk about, this blueprint. And part of that I want to focus in on is something you call heart-centered sales and marketing. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, you know, you mentioned sales training workshops, and a lot of these sales training workshops, they go, you know, they're about overcoming objections and how to pump yourself back up again to hit the phones and make those cold calls. You know, so sometimes it's very, you know, practical and tactical in that sense. And then other times the sales training workshops let's say they start talking about influence and strategies for persuasion. And, you know, things like making sure that when you make a statement, your voice arcs down because that's more compelling. And that's a way of commanding your person to do what you want them to do. And a lot of people, when they hear both of these, they're like, you know, I don't want to spend time pumping myself up to do something that I hate. And I sure as heck don't want to become a master of persuasion and influence and just be slimy at being able to get people to do what I want them to do. So the alternative is the core of my book, which is heart-centered salesmanship, where it's this approach where you recognize that your customer is a real person and they have a real problem. And so, you know, if you think, well, yeah, the problem that I solve is that, you know, let's say that you sell TVs, right? The problem that I solve is that we've got the best selection in the industry and we're 24-hour customer service, and, you know, that's why you should buy a TV from us. And I say to them, really? Is your customer lying awake at night wishing that they could find somebody that had 24-hour customer service? No, that is not the problem that your customer has. You know, the problem that your customer has in this example is that their life is a little bit boring for them and they're looking to spice it up, or that they are getting ready to host a big Super Bowl party and they want their guests to have an awesome time and they need a better TV in order to make that happen. You know, that's the problem that your customer is having. So when you address that problem, now you're serving them, and you're doing that from a heart-centered way. You're meeting their real need, and you're helping them on a deep level to get what they want out of life, not just influencing them to buy your crap that they may or may not need. That's what heart-centered selling is.
I love it. I think it's a fabulous concept, and it's become something of an anomaly in today's world that when you actually find someone who does heart-centered selling, they stick out so much because you get bombarded by so many less scrupulous folks that are out there. The book, by the way, is called The Entrepreneur's Guide to Sleaze-Free Selling, and my pal Julia Klein is our guest today. Our phone number is 718-506-1944. And if you'd like to hop into the flash chat section of the program, we'd love to hear from you there as well. Can you use some of what folks learn in the Entrepreneur's Guide to Sleaze-Free Selling in your personal life? And I think about this in terms of trying to sell something that might be the right thing, Julia, to your wife. Maybe it's an investment that she's afraid of for security reasons, or something as simple as going to see a movie that you think she would enjoy that maybe she wouldn't enjoy. Can you translate some of what you teach in this book into personal selling?
Absolutely. Again, 100%. Again, because the first step in the three-step sales formula is to awaken your customer to the fact that they have a problem. And so, again, if you're not being manipulative and just trying to convince them that they have a problem that's in your best interest, using the example of getting the wife to go to the movies, like, so if you want to go see the action flick and you know that gory action flicks actually give your wife nightmares, then trying to convince her that her problem is that she hasn't seen enough action flicks, well, that's very self-serving, and that's sleazy to try to convince her to do that.
Yep.
But if, in fact, the goal is just, you know, if you can say, well, you know what, I'm not committed to seeing an action movie, I just really would like to go out to a movie, and I would really like my wife to go with me, and, you know, and her, you know, and she's saying that she doesn't want to because she's tired or because the babysitter costs too much money or whatever. Well, in that case, it's completely ethical to emphasize, you know what, honey, yes, you're tired, but you know what? I bet that some of that tiredness is just because we haven't had a lot of fun. You haven't had a chance to relax and de-stress. So really, your problem is that you need to take a few hours away from the kids and, you know, spend some time letting me take care of you. You know, so that now you're awakening your wife to her real problem and in the process getting what you want, which is getting a date to go to the movies with your wife tonight. So that would be a non-sleazy approach to using this in your personal life.
I love it. Julia Klein is our guest today. She's a master sales trainer, and you can visit her online and pick up The Entrepreneur's Guide to Sleaze-Free Selling at Amazon.com. Folks, sharpen your pencils, because when we come back from the break, Julia talks about a three-step sleaze-free sales formula. We're actually going to get into those three steps right after this. Hang on the Burke Allen Show.
Over 14 million people witnessed his emotional story of survival and triumph on national television.
I've been doing this, man, for so long, like ever since I was a kid.
Millions more voted him their favorite in a landslide win.
The winner is...
And now, you can be a part of the experience live.
Landau Eugene Murphy Jr.
Landau Eugene Murphy Jr.
Ain't that a kick in the head?
Your America's Got Talent winner.
I've got you.
Landau Eugene Murphy Jr.
Under my
live. performing classics from the Great American Songbook and his Columbia Records debut CD, That's Life.
That's Life.
Landau Eugene Murphy Jr.'s That's Life Tour. The one concert event this year you absolutely can't miss.
See Landau Eugene Murphy Jr. live on tour all year long. Tour dates and more at LandauMurphyJr.com. This is the Burke Allen Show, live from our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. It's 718-506-1944. 718-506-1944. Our guest is Julia Klein, and she's not only an old pal, she's also a new author. The book is The Entrepreneur's Guide to Sleaze-Free Selling, available now at Amazon.com. And Julia, you talk about a three-step sleaze-free sales formula. Our listeners have their pencil sharpened. What are the three specific steps?
Absolutely. Step number one of the sleaze-free sales formula is to, as we said before the break, awaken your customers to the fact that they have a problem. So the sleazy way of doing this is to use scare tactics and elements of persuasion to make them think that, you know, oh, things are terrible. You know, a lot of financial copywriters will do stuff like this. They'll say, oh, the sky is falling. The world is coming apart. The only way you can protect yourself is to buy our financial instrument, right? So that would be sleazy to convince them that they have a problem they don't have just in order to buy your stuff. But if they really do have a problem, then you awakening them to that problem and emphasizing the grand scale of that problem and the urgency with which they need to solve that problem, all of that is within their best interest, so it's all not sleazy. So that's step one.
Got it.
Step two is to demonstrate beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are the best person to help them solve this problem. Now, of course, this presupposes that you are, in fact, the best person to solve their problem. And so an essential component of this step is during your inquiry process with your customer as you're determining what their needs are. If, in fact, you figure out that you're not the best person to solve their problem, the ethical thing to do is to back off and give them a referral to somebody you know who could solve their needs better. But if you find that, hey, you know what, I'm dead on with this problem. This is right in my wheelhouse to solve this problem for you. And now you take every tool that you have in your disposal to convince them of your ability to solve this problem for them. And that's, you do that with testimonials, you do that with case studies and success stories. And a very important part of this second step is that you help your customer to overcome their own sense of hopelessness that this problem could never be solved. One of my clients, because of course I work privately with clients helping them to implement sleaze-free selling tactics in their business. One of my clients is a neuroscientist, and he has a revolutionary approach he actually developed 30 years ago, which addresses ADD and autism. And so the parents who come to him, it's usually not their first rodeo. They
sure.
have gone to specialist after specialist to search for some sort of a solution to help their child. And so a big part of his sales process is to not necessarily toot his own horn so much, but it's to help them to understand and deal with their own hopelessness and fear and despair and their unwillingness to get excited about the possibility that there might actually still be a solution out there they haven't tried yet. That's a big, big part of the second step of demonstrating that you are the best person to help them solve their problem.
Very good. And the third?
The third step is to make it easy for them to begin to do business with you. And so and I actually, in the book, I present a critical element of this, which is to do what we call a two-step offer, to have both an initial offer as well as a big offer. And in a lot of sales situations, this is a fairly common concept where your initial offer would be the consultation. So you meet somebody, you determine you've got some sort of fit, and you say, tell you what, let me come to your office, let's do a consultation. Or let's talk on the telephone, we'll do a consultation. And so that's so that you make it as easy as possible, and you promise them, you know, some benefits. Let's say you're a mortgage broker. I'll run you a credit report during that free consultation so you'll actually get something tangible out of it. So you make it easy for them to start to do business with you by making that initial offer. You don't instantly go for your big offer. You don't try to close them on a $2,000 or an $8,000 sale just after having met them at a cocktail party, or you're sending them a postcard in the mail, or whatever it is that your lead generation strategy is.
I love it. Julia Klein is our guest today. She's a sales trainer and the author of the brand new book, The Entrepreneur's Guide to Sleaze-Free Selling. And I think that tearing down the barriers is really important in today's online world, to make sure that you make it easy for people to do business with you, that you do things as simple as including, you know, your email address and phone number on your website in an easy-to-spot place. But I want to circle back with you, Julia, on the sleaze-free concept. I love that. Is there a punch list that you have or a couple of tips that you can share with us on how folks can sort of review their own sleaze factor and de-sleaze their sales process? You know, is there a looking glass or a magnifying glass that they should look at and some things that you would recommend to de-sleaze?
Yeah, definitely. And part of the way that you want to get started with that is to recognize that the sales process is a multi-step process. And so you want to look at your sleaze factor throughout every step of the process. And the first step of the process is to generate a lead. And so that's, if you're doing that online, that might be with a banner ad, or that might be with an email campaign. And so whatever you're doing, and if you're doing it in person, maybe you are handing out flyers, or maybe you're doing direct mail and you're sending a postcard to people. And so you're generating leads. And so you want to make sure that your initial offer, you're not just doing a spatter approach all over the place with as much money as you can possibly spend, but you want to do the best you can to narrow down your audience, whose attention you're trying to get, in order to have the best shot that what you're offering really is a solution to their problem. That's the best way to de-sleaze your lead generation. Then the second step after lead generation is, of course, that initial offer. And that initial offer is where you are enticing them and you are showing to them that you have a solution to this big problem that they have. And again, as we mentioned just a few minutes ago, a good way to make sure that is not sleazy is that you are, in fact, addressing a problem that they have.
Sure.
You're not attempting to convince them of some monster under the bed that is self-serving for you, but which really isn't the problem they have. So that's the de-sleazing factor within your initial offer. And then when you get into the closing tactics, when you're going for the close, this is perhaps the area where most business owners feel the most uncomfortable. They feel like they're putting the screws to somebody when they're, you know, really, when the customer has said no or has expressed some hesitancy, and a great salesperson will not take no for an answer once they determine that they really do have a solution to this person's problem. And I just, with my clients, I encourage them, you know, whether it's an in-person close, whether it's over the telephone, whether it's in your sales copy, you know, whatever it is, you absolutely have to push and push and push and push again, because as we talked about a little bit earlier, a big part of why a lot of people are saying no to your offer, if you in fact are solving a problem, is it because of their own hopelessness and their own sense of despair and their own disappointment in the past. And so you need to get them into a state of excitement and expectancy, and getting them feeling like, oh, you know, even though it's never worked before, it really could work this time. And whatever you got to do to get them into that state of expectancy and hope and excitement is fair game and not in the slightest bit sleazy, given that you are, in fact, solving the problem with what it is that you're with what it is that you're selling.
Oh, that's great advice. Julia Klein is our guest today. She's a master sales trainer. The new book available at Amazon.com is The Entrepreneur's Guide to Sleaze-Free Selling, and it's chock full of stuff that you can pick this book up and start on it today and improve your sales process and de-sleaze all the way through. One of the things that I think that the folks have a hard time with, especially small business owners, is you talk about the close is just telling customers how much something costs, you know, how much this widget is, and asking them to pay for it. I know the folks that have worked under me down through the years have just had a dickens of a time asking folks to pay. They get almost physically ill when they have to ask for what, you know, is very well deserved. Any tips on how to feel no hesitation there when you tell potential customers how much you charge and asking them to pay for it?
Yeah, definitely. That is the space. You know, as I was just saying, you know, when you get to the close, that's where most business owners and salespeople really just have that fear come up for them. And the idea of presenting your price, first of all, if you are the one who is setting your price, so if you're a small business owner and you're your own lead salesperson, so you're setting your own price, it is important that you need to feel in integrity with your price. You need to feel the amount of money that you're charging feels good to you, and it feels as if you really are delivering value in because it's commensurate with the dollars that you're charging. You know, this comes up a lot. I work with a lot of coaches, and they, you know, they charge anywhere from $100 an hour all the way up to $10,000 a day. And there's a wide spectrum. And oftentimes a coach will be, you know, attempting to sell a coaching package of $3,000, let's say, when they themselves don't really feel good about charging that dollar amount. They're trying to force themselves to do something they're not yet ready to do.
Sure.
So if you're the one who's in charge of your pricing, one way to get around that is to examine, really, am I ready to charge this price yet? And then on the flip side, if you're not the one who is in charge of setting the price, or even if you are, but you've determined this is my price, but yet it still feels yucky to me to go and ask for that dollar amount, I actually learned this myself way back when I was a sales trainer, and I was doing real estate sales, and I was coaching some real estate sales trainers, some real estate salespeople, how to be better salespeople. So I was playing the role of the customer, and one of the guys that I was training was being the sales guy. So we were going around, and we got somewhere towards the end of the presentation, and we were doing a little bit of a breakdown and analysis. And he said,
Julia Klein is our guest today. The book is The Entrepreneur's Guide to Sleaze Free Selling. It's available at Amazon.com and bookstores everywhere. And I think we've got a caller on the line now from Alabama. Let's see if we can bring our caller in. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hello, Burke and Julia. Enjoying the talk very much. I engage in a profession that is known for sleaze. I hate to say this, but it's the legal profession. and you know what a goal in terms of and I know people have tried it in the past with law, but the stuff set forth that you put in the interview and from what I've read in the book, it would be directly applicable, but kind of hard to do when there's so much sleaze that has gone before you. But I, my own personal life, in dealing with clients, I try and take the pressure away. And I've tried to use her tips in the past, or what she has there. It's very good that why you're the best about that. But I usually always close my cell, but I hate talking about money with that. It's like a doctor that faints at the sight of blood to have a lawyer that hates to talk about money. But in de-sleazing, I wish there was an easier way to deal with that. I usually try and leave it open where people don't like the price, they can go, and I always have somebody else. I'm like a dentist. Somebody else will sit in that chair if they don't. But I wish there was an easier way to de-sleaze such a sleazy profession at times.
Well, and I'll tell you, you do have your hands tied behind your back a little bit, being an attorney and it having this horrible sort of stigma attached to it. Julia, we've only got about 60 seconds. Any tips to help our attorney friend who's calling in from Alabama with positioning his law firm and lawyers in general as less sleazy?
Again, it comes back to that foundational element that we've been talking about throughout this call. You need to figure out the problem that your customer has and how it is that you are solving their problem. Because if you can position yourself as, hey, I am on your side, I am the one who is solving this problem for you, it removes an enormous percentage of any sleaze factor that might otherwise be there.
I think that's fantastic advice. Thank you so much for calling in. We're almost out of time, Julia. Before I let you go, if there are folks that have a question for you, they want to reach out to you, what's the best way to find you?
Absolutely. Come to my website, sleazefreeselling.com.
Sleazefreeselling.com. I love it. The book, again, is The Entrepreneur's Guide to Sleaze-Free Selling. The author is Julia Kline. That's K-L-I-N-E. The book is available at Amazon.com. Julia, thanks for taking a few minutes to share some tips with us today. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me on, Burke. It's been wonderful. I enjoyed it.
You bet. Live in Washington, D.C., I'm Burke Allen. Thanks for listening. Now go out and make it a great day.